Welcome to In Faith Network Radio. Celebrate Christ with us as we go behind the scenes of Christian entertainment to reveal hidden blessings and share with the Christian community. In Faith Network Radio.
Well, hello and welcome to In Faith Network Radio. I'm your host, Sheila English, and I'm here with my wonderful co-host, Anita Higman. Welcome, Anita.
Thank you, Sheila. So glad to be here.
Now, tell me, so are you ready for Christmas?
Pretty much, as of just a few moments ago, yeah. So I was right down to the wire here, but yeah, I'm ready.
You know, I had my tree up before Thanksgiving. I know that's terrible, but I love Christmas so much. And I have different themes throughout my house. I have snowmen, I have dogs, because as you know, Anita, I am a big dog lover, so I have a tree with dog stuff on it, and horses, because we own horses, so I have a little theme with horses. So it's been up since before Thanksgiving. I felt like, oh, I'm so ready. I've got everything here. The cards are done. Everything's decorated. And then today, I'm not kidding, today I'm talking to my sister. Okay, maybe I was bragging a little about how, oh, I'm so on top of it this year. Should never have done that. Because then she said, well, what did you get Ed? Ed is my husband. And I said, I forgot to get my husband a present.
That's pretty bad,
Sheila. I must be the worst wife on the planet. You know, the kids and the, he cares about the food. So I was making sure his food, you know, I've got everything he likes to eat. And then, oh, I'm so bad. So that's what I get for bragging. That will teach me a lesson. I'm curious, what are you doing during the holidays that glorifies the true meaning of Christmas? Anything special?
Well, I do all sorts of things, like have ladies over for brunch and stuff. That's one of my favorite things to do. But the really holy thing that we do that is so meaningful to our family is as we settle around the Christmas tree and right before we open the presents, my husband reads from the Book of Luke, and he reads the Christmas story. And it is so meaningful every year that I think if we ever stopped doing that, everybody would be upset, because that really does reflect, you know, the true meaning of Christmas, and it's become a real joy and a meaningful experience for us to do that. So that's what we do.
You know, we obviously, Anita, we're kindred spirits. We do that too. We do it on, well, we do it Christmas Eve, and we read. And, you know, we're with the family, and one of the kids gets chosen each year to read it. We, you know, we like to involve all the kids, and it's like a high honor in the family, you know, who gets to read the Christmas story. So I think that's great. Well, you know, in the spirit of giving, we have a real gift for our listeners tonight. Award-winning author Sandra D. Bricker has been published in both the Christian and general market for years, with novels for women and teens, magazine articles and short stories, with 17 novels and devotionals in print, and 7 more slated for publication through 2014. Sandy has carved out a niche for herself as an author of laugh-out-loud romantic comedy, and for the inspirational market. Sandy was an entertainment publicist in Hollywood for 15-plus years for some of daytime television's hottest stars while studying the craft of screenwriting. However, when her mother became ill in Florida, she put Los Angeles in the rearview mirror to provide care for her, and then she began a new phase of her life as a novelist. Now, Sandy is also an ovarian cancer survivor, and dedicates time and energy to creating symptom awareness and raising funds toward a cure. She currently resides in Wesley Chapel, Florida. Welcome, Sandra.
Hi, ladies. Thanks so much for inviting me to spend some time with you. I appreciate it.
Oh, we're happy you're here. Now, do you prefer Sandra or Sandy?
Sandy, please. If you call me Sandra, I'm either in trouble or you're reading it off the front of one of my books.
But it's never serious unless your middle name is used. That's what I was told.
Right. Oh, that was for my father only.
Well, you know, we were talking a little bit before we started the program. I know that you have a little bit of a cough. I think you're a real trooper. You wanted to come here anyhow, so I just want to thank you so much for doing that. Even though you are in Florida, and what's the temperature there?
79 and sunny. I'm sorry, guys.
I apologize for my state.
I know. It's like I'm in Kentucky where we're currently having a storm. And, of course, I think it was Iowa yesterday that was having what they were called snow thunderstorms.
Yes, I read that.
Yeah, that's crazy weather. So, you know, we are going to forgive you for for your 79 degrees.
That's very Christ-like of you.
I'll tell you, I hardly know where to start. You know, let's start with Hollywood. Then talk about your transition, your battle with cancer, and the transition to Florida from California. And, of course, we want to talk about your books. Now, before we go too far, let me let our listeners know I do have the live chat session open. And, we're happy to take any questions for those of you who are too shy to call in. But, of course, those of you who are not too shy and love to have your voice heard, you can call into the show and talk with us. We'd love that. The number is 646-200-4071. Now, after the show, you can download the podcast or come on over to InFaithNetwork.com and check out the blog that will accompany this podcast. And, you know, I know not everybody gets to listen to us live, but guess what? If you go over there, check out the blog, if you want to leave a comment or a question, we promise to get that over to Sandy and get that answered or addressed. And I know a lot of our listeners like to check out our guest's website while we chat, so I want to give you that website right now. It's www.sandrabricker.com, and I'm going to spell it out for you.
SandraDBricker.com.
Oh, sorry, SandraDBricker. I have it written correctly, and I was about to spell it correctly, so I get two out of three. So it's SandraDBricker. So I know that's correct. I'm doing okay now. Now, Sandy, tell us a little bit about Hollywood and, you know, who you worked with and what was that like?
Well, okay. I was born in California, but my dad was a Marine Corps officer, and so we moved around quite a bit. And I spent most of my growing up time in Ohio as a Cincinnati kid, but I always dreamed of going back to California and becoming a famous screenwriter. And so in my 20s, I packed up my car and I moved out there, and I went to film school and I studied screenwriting, and I hit the pavement with my scripts. My big dreams just weren't going anywhere, but I had to make a living. So if you've ever been to Hollywood, you know it's no place to find yourself homeless. So I started working temp jobs and the like, and while I was there, I was a bit of a groupie for my favorite soap, General Hospital. I've been watching it since I was really young, and so I visited the studio many times over, and I ended up making some friends there and meeting an actress who also had her own skincare line. Well, she was a beautiful person, but probably the most unorganized woman I've ever met, and I'm just the opposite of unorganized. So she asked me if I would help her, and that was the start of what became the next 20 years of my life. I was a personal assistant to her, and later to many of her co-stars on the show, and we did spill out to other shows as well. And one day one of my clients said, you know, I don't like my publicist very much, and I'm thinking of letting him go, and what would you think about taking over for a while? And, of course, I said, are you joking? I don't want to be a publicist. But God had other plans for me, and, as usual. And a year later, I had a dozen PR clients, and that's what I did until my mom got sick in Florida, and I had to move here to take care of her. So my plan had always been to move back to L.A. afterward. But once again, God had other plans for me. So here I sit. I'm still here.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if you ever heard that joke. You know, if you ever want to hear God laugh, just tell him your plans.
Right. Yep, I'm going to be a big screenwriter, God.
Well, you know, I'm telling you, I think I see why you and Anita had such a hit it off so well. You know, I actually was born in California. Where were you born in California?
Oceanside. My father was
Southern,
stationed at Camp Pendleton, so I was just south of Los Angeles.
I'm from the Bay Area. I'm a Northern California girl, but
I got
California.
It.
Love
yeah,
it.
Me too.
And
me too.
My husband's in Ohio. He's a Buckeye. He's from Ohio. He's from
good for him.
He's from Tip City, which is close to Dayton.
Right. I know where that is.
And that's really close to Cincinnati. So
yeah, not too
fast. Small world. And you know, I watch General Hospital. I probably shouldn't say how long I've watched it. That might not
yeah,
be good.
Yeah, me either.
But I will just say, you know, I loved Luke and Laura. I couldn't.
Yeah.
I just was so addicted. It was so it was really truly an addiction. And it was funny because about 2 years ago, I was asked to be a judge for, of all things, Mr. Romance contest, Mr. Romance of America. And so I agreed to do it and ended up on a panel with Jacqueline Zeman from General Hospital.
She's a sweetheart.
Delightful. I loved her. And we hit it off really well. So, yeah, I was like, oh, my goodness, that's Nurse Bobby. I was...
Yeah, I always say my unhealthy crush on Luke changed my life.
It wasn't it, though. That's so great. Well, you know, I want to know, you know, now, did you find out about your cancer before or after you moved to Florida to care for your mother?
Well, I'd already moved to Florida, and I took care of my mom actually for several years, and then less than a year after she passed away, I was doing research for a book where I was considering giving my heroine a terrible disease, as we do, and I came across a symptom list for ovarian cancer, and I called my critique partner, I'll never forget this, and I said, you know, I'm reading this symptom list, and I have every one of the symptoms listed on it, and 2 weeks later, you know, I went to the doctor because it worried me, and I was diagnosed with uterine cancer, which is very treatable at that stage especially, and but then when they looked further, it was discovered that I had stage 3 ovarian cancer already. And if not for the research on that book, the book that was never published, by the way, I might not even be here to talk to you today. It was a fluke, that supposed fluke, I say that in quote marks, that it was diagnosed. So
wow.
My life was saved because of that book that didn't get published.
Wow. Now, the change from Hollywood and California, where you worked with TV stars, to Florida and taking care of your mother and then dealing with cancer, it had to make a mark on your life. What was that like, that transition?
Oh, well, you know, it wasn't easy, as you can imagine. When I left California, after all those years of dreaming of getting there and doing a certain thing, when I left, I pretty much felt like my life was over, you know, and the last place on the planet that I even wanted to visit was Florida, much less take up residence. But if I hadn't made that transition from L.A. to Florida, I would probably still be knocking on doors trying to convince filmmakers that I have something to say. So I've come to realize there are no accidents in a life where you follow Christ. You just, I always say, just shut up and go.
Now we're going to talk about your books, and I see that we have some people in the chat room, but and we will get to that, I promise. So, you know, we're going to talk about the books, which, you know, they look fun, and I'm looking at your website, which is really fun and lighthearted, you know, but before we do, I'm really interested in how you make people aware of symptoms of ovarian cancer. Can you tell us what you do and maybe share with us? You know, we have a lot of women who listen to the show and would love to help raise the awareness.
Oh, Sheila, thank you so much for asking that, because, you know, I've talked to a lot of women's groups trying to get this point across, because ovarian cancer is a silent killer. The symptoms can be so easily mistaken for something else, like bloating or swelling in the abdomen or feeling full really quickly and staying full, or even changes in bowel habits. It's often confused. And there's a blood test, it's called the CA-125, that supposedly detects ovarian cancer. But I had that test when they found out I had uterine cancer, and I was negative. So it's not just it's just not effective in a huge percentage of women. I'm looking at my notes here. More than 75% of women are diagnosed after the disease has already spread, and only 25% of them survive 5 years afterwards. So it's really ridiculous in this age. You know, those statistics are appalling when you realize that more women die of ovarian cancer than all of the other gynecologic cancers combined. So since I'm 7 years clean against all odds, I've sort of picked up this banner to get information out there. I'm associated with an amazing support group here in Tampa called Ovacom, And I've worked with Summerside Press on a line of women's devotionals that benefited the Ovarian Cancer Research Fund. And I also speak to women's groups as often as I can to increase awareness and try to ignite a fire, you know, toward finding not just a cure, but at the very least an effective diagnostic tool. The last book I wrote, in fact, centered around the fight against ovarian cancer and features some real-life warriors from the Overcome group. It's called Raw Edges. It's for Abingdon Press's Quilts of Love series, and it comes out in September of next year.
You know, I have a very dear friend of mine who actually lived a long time in Miami, and when she found out she had ovarian cancer, it was already stage four.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I was stage three.
It. Yeah, it's, she battled it. She actually lived 8 years. She passed away this year from the cancer. But, you know, it was one of those, she was actually shocked when she found out she had it. I'll never forget that. She was, you know, you were talking about the bloating and that kind of thing. It never occurred to her that it was cancer.
Yeah.
So I just want to thank you so much for all the work that you're doing to raise awareness. And
let me tell you, it's an ugly disease. And I've lost a lot of people, you know, several people that I really love. Because of it, we just don't see the kind of funds toward ovarian cancer research that we do towards breast cancer and even colon cancer. You know, it's just one of those just horrible diseases that seems to get kind of lost in the wind at times.
Well, I'm going to change the gears a little bit because I see we're filling up over here on the chat room, and I know people want to talk about the book. I just wanted to take that moment out and be able to get that information out, and thank you for all your hard work. Now, I have to say that, you know, when I went to your website, I saw, you know, how happy, cheerful, and fun it is. You know, I could never imagine you having such trials in your life. You know, what keeps you motivated to write, you know, happy, even humorous books?
Well, thank you for saying that, first of all. But, you know, I don't know if it speaks well of me, but I have to admit to you that I've always been that person in the room that finds humor in everything, even when it's completely inappropriate. I've just always been that way. And so far I haven't heard about, like, a 12-step program or a support group that helps you with it. So I've kind of accepted my ability to just laugh at the world around me as well as at myself as one of those things that God put into me for whatever reason. One of my favorite proverbs is, a merry heart does good like medicine. I truly believe that. I really think that laughter is much underutilized medicine.
Now, Anita, I know you've been patiently waiting, and I know you have a lot of questions. So I'm gonna share. Okay, I could just go on and on. I'm like you, Anita. I think we could talk to Sandy all night long. I think half an hour is probably not enough. but I'm going to be kind because it is the season of giving. And the mic is yours, Anita.
Thank you, Sheila, because I'm desperate to jump in here. So thank you. But first of all, I wanted to say, Sandy, I'm still blown away by the story that you said about researching that book that saved your life. I, as a writer, I just cannot get over that. I will never recover from hearing that story. Even though that book didn't get published, I mean, it's like I want to say, who cares? My word, it saved your life. That's a million times more important than getting published. I am so grateful for that research you did, Sandy. I'm glad
Thank
you're with
you.
Us.
Me too.
Anyway, I wanted to ask about your writer's journey because it sounds so interesting. You know, the actual process, I know you've told us some of it, but the actual process of the book that you got published, that first book, I mean, how exciting was that to finally get published? And tell us a little bit about that journey.
Well, like I said, the big dream was becoming a screenwriter, but I think it was John Lennon that said, life is what happens when you're busy making other plans. So I, you know, screenwriting was my deal, and when I got here, my mom just got weary of hearing me whine about how I wish I could write screenplays from across the country, and she said, you know what, Sandy, they have these things now, and they're called books, and some writers like to use their talents there. So I went and joined a local writers group, and I took some workshops and classes, and I wrote some really awful first attempts, and then I finally found my stride. I published first with Avalon Books, which is not an inspirational publisher, but they're a sweet romance. And the most wonderful thing happened to me there in meeting the senior editor, Erin, and she kind of took me under her wing and really worked with me, you know. And I think not very many people get to a place in their life where they know that they know they're exactly where they're supposed to be, doing exactly what they're meant to do. And I'm blessed to have that with my books. And then pretty soon, I kept praying and praying and praying that God would, lead me to a place where I could get into the inspirational market where they got me, where they really got who I was as a writer. And then I always used to tell Jason and Carlton at Summerside Press, they're the people who owned it at the time, they have me to thank for their business, because pretty soon they came up and they published me first in the Christian market, and the rest is either history or tragedy. I'm not sure.
Oh, I like that. That's a great journey story. Well, I appreciate it. But now we're going to move to Abingdon Press, and so another Emma Ray Creation series of books for Abingdon was a turning point in your career. So let's hear a little bit about that too now.
Well, I can't say enough about Emma Ray and her friends in those books. I had some marginal success writing for the Love Finds You line at Summerside, and then this phenomenal woman by the name of Barbara Scott found me. Barb was the senior editor at Abingdon at the time, and she contracted a book from me called The Big 5-0, and while I was brainstorming the book that would follow that one, I was watching a reality show marathon one Sunday afternoon on a show called Amazing Wedding Cakes, and I thought, wow, what if somebody like me, because I'm a diabetic, what if a diabetic had the dream of being a baker? And then 20 minutes later, Emma was born in my head, and I was frantically scribbling notes for that first book, and thank you, Jesus. People responded to her story and to that character, and three more books came after it. My readers have been more loyal to Emma than I ever imagined was even possible. It's just been amazing.
Well, isn't that a beautiful story? Every writer dreams of living that dream, so that's lovely. So anyway,
I just want to interject real quickly as you're talking about how people love the book. Somebody in the chat room, Andy Tibbs, just wanted to put a shout out to you, Sandy. Says, thank you, Sandy, for providing me with humor. I go to your books when I need a giggle. Gotta love it. Thanks, Andy.
Hi, Andy. Thank you.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Writers that write comedy like to hear that, too, because you never really know. You're sitting there and working on it, and you don't really know if things are funny until, the readers come back and say, hey, I really needed that giggle. I needed that laugh. That really... I needed that. So
exactly.
You write romantic comedy, so we want to know, how did you get to be so funny, and did it come naturally? Does it run in the family and the DNA or something?
I'm asked that question often, and I always like to borrow from Steve Martin. He used to have this stand-up bit that he did where he said, people ask me all the time, Steve, how can you be so funny? And he said, so I tell him the truth. Every morning I put bologna in my shoes, and for the rest of the day I just feel funny. The truth is, I don't know why God decided for me to be funny when other writers are telling these, heart-wrenching stories or telling tales of suspense. The only revelation I've had is that I like to imagine that when God created me and he was ready to whisper that thing in your ear that, of what he has planned for you, he probably had baloney in his shoes.
Oh, that's a great Steve Martin quote. I'd never heard that one before. I love Steve Martin. That's a good
me
one.
Too.
Well, do you have a lot of fun writing the stories, or do you find writing comedy difficult? Because, comedy is a very tedious thing. A lot of Academy Awards are given for drama, and I don't think they appreciate the fact that comedy is very difficult to write and very difficult to execute, on the screen. And so what do you think? Is it hard? Is it easy?
Well, I suppose it doesn't hurt any that I find myself hilarious. when I'm sitting writing, very often I am laughing out loud at myself. Like something just strikes me funny, and then I'll call my friend Marion, or I'll call up Barb, who is still my friend. That's that editor I told you about. And I'll say, just read this page and tell me if I'm crazy or is this funny. And then if they come back and say, not so much, I know to rethink it. But romantic comedy comes, really easily for me. It's those other stories, like the Quilt of Love book about ovarian cancer that I agonize over. And when I finished that one, the editor contacted me, and she told me how blessed she'd been by reading it. And I remember thinking, man, I hope you don't get used to that, because I want to go back to my romantic comedy. This is hard.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, I know you said earlier that comedy is like medicine. People laughing, it's like medicine. And so you must think that it's an important part of life. Well, do you think that Christians in particular need to laugh more? I mean, are we a little bit too prunish or something?
I really do. I think people, especially in days like these, take themselves so seriously. And, you know, they place such demands on themselves, and nobody has any time anymore. So if by some miracle there's a woman who's able to carve out 20 minutes to herself to actually read a book, and she picks up one of mine, I want to make that journey as entertaining, encouraging, and fun as I possibly can. I kind of feel like if I don't do that, you know, then what's the point? I have this ritual that I do on the morning of the release date of every single one of my books that comes out. I pray that God will send angels to the people who need to laugh, who need to be reminded about God's role in their lives, and that those angels just lead them to my book. Because if they need a different story, you know, they need to read something different, God will lead them to a different book. I believe that. So I'm in it for the long haul. I'm in it for a purpose. And if I'm just writing to put words on the page, then what was the point? You know, I just... Anyway,
well, that's a very generous prayer, a godly one, and a beautiful one. I like that very much, Sandy.
Oh, thanks.
Well, tell us a little bit more. You mentioned earlier something about what readers were saying, but tell us some more. You know, when you get emails and things, what are they saying to you?
Well, you know, I have the most generous and wonderful readers imaginable. They're loyal, they're devoted, and most importantly, they really get me, you know. After spending so many years answering fan mail for actors, I'm always blown away when I actually get fan mail of my own, or, you know, sometimes they'll send me presents, or, you know, last year I had kidney failure and I was sick for a really long time, and one of my readers actually sent me a blanket that she had made and prayed over so that I would have that, you know, as I was healing, and it just really
wow.
touched me. They write me beautiful emails and letters about which characters they identify with and how the character's story made them see their own lives differently. And most importantly, I'm most proud of when they say there's like this new facet of their relationship to God that they found while reading one of my books, because seriously, there's nothing better than that.
I agree. That is about as good as it gets. So, okay, we're going to switch gears here a little bit, though, quickly, because we're running out of time. But in the fourth and final book of the series, Always the Baker, Finally the Bride, you did run a contest that made quite a stir, I heard, and one of your readers
yeah.
got to participate in the story, so we've got to hear a little bit about that.
Yeah, I wasn't sure Abingdon was going to write off on that, but I had this idea, and they did, and I worked with an awesome young artist. Her name is Hannah Sandvig, and she drew 5 different wedding cakes, all of a different theme, and then I held a contest for a reader to choose which one would be Emma and Jackson's wedding cake by writing an essay about why that one cake represented their love story. And we got some amazing entries, but the person who won was hands down the best, because she told, it was Bonnie Cordova from Colorado, and she won with an essay relating her 30 years of marriage to Emma and Jackson's relationship. That won me over in a big way. So Bonnie is, now she not only got to pick the cake, but I wrote her into the book. So she's a character in the book that sits down with Emma and helps her sort out the different choices to land that one perfect cake.
Well, I've heard of readers participating before, but never quite like that. You definitely did a different twist on that. That's lovely. I like that story. Well, so when does that book come out then?
It will drop in April. I'm really excited about that. I'm also a little sad saying goodbye to those characters, but I had a new series come into my life right when I was saying goodbye there. So for River North, I'm going to be doing contemporary fairy tales, which will come out, like, the first one is If the Shoe Fits. It's based very loosely on Cinderella, and it comes out 2 months later. So it was like a really cool transition God did there, where I had to say goodbye to one and say hello to the next.
That's a great title, too. I like that. We'll all look forward to reading that, I'm sure. Well, Sheila, I know we only have this tiny bit of time left, but maybe you have another time for maybe a question or two more. So, Sheila, I'm going to give you the mic back.
All right. Yeah, we're down to a minute and a half, so I'm going to try and make this real quick. Sandy, first of all, where can people find you online? Because that's important.
I have a reader page on Facebook. I have the sandradbricker.com, but the reader page on Facebook is, they can find it by searching Fans of Sandra D. Bricker. And I love that page because I get a chance to be interactive and we do contests and, you know, I show them a little bit of my personal life and that kind of thing.
Perfect. And now, you know, I know we only have a minute, and actually what happens at the end of the minute is the live show goes off, but it'll still record. And I think this is super important. I think it's worth you know, going a little overtime. So those of you listening live will have to check out infaithnetwork.com tomorrow and listen to the end of this program, because I think this is going to be a very important question. You know, Sandy, I like I'd like to give our guests an opportunity to praise God. And, you know, you had an incredible life journey. You know, beat cancer. You know, you're writing. You're making a difference in people's lives. Tell us, and you know, take your time. Really, don't rush. Really, take your time. Tell us how God works in your life and through your life.
Well, actually, guys, I appreciate the opportunity. I've been a spirit-filled Christian for more than 25 years, and I'm still learning about my relationship with God all the time. And the hardest thing to face, I think, is that turning your life over to Jesus doesn't mean that you're going to live this charmed life, that you can jump off the train in Bowl of Cherryville, you know. What it does mean is that no matter what comes, you have something solid to hold on to, somebody who's faced the hard things, and someone who's promised you a future and a hope. And you asked how God works in and through my life, but the truth is God is my life. I'm nothing without him, just a scared, overweight girl from Cincinnati, but he's a transformational God, and he's paid the price for me already, so now I can be confident. My life has a purpose, I'm accepted, and I'm loved, and I really praise him for that.
I love that. Sandy, it's been truly wonderful to have you on the show with us. You know, we've learned a great deal and had a great time. Thank you.
Oh, ladies, it's been so cool to visit with you both, and I appreciate it so much. I hope you and your listeners have a really wonderful Christmas.
Oh, you as well. And, you know, we're going to have you come back because this just wasn't long enough.
Oh,
so,
thank you. Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, we definitely will. We'll be in touch, and we'll try and line something up because this was really fun. Anita, you know, we won't have a show together till 2013. I don't care what the Mayans say. I just want to put that out there. So,
well, I'm looking forward to January. I know it's going to come, and so we're going to have some wonderful guests in January, February, March, and on through the year, and I'm excited about our guests, so we'll have some fun.
Fantastic. Well, you know what? You have a wonderful, wonderful holiday. Merry Christmas. And ladies, I wish you and your families and all of our listeners a very Merry Christmas. Thank you so much. And, of course, don't forget, listeners, to check out www.infaithnetwork.com tomorrow for the blog. We'll make sure we have links there. We're going to find that Facebook page, and we'll link over to that because I don't want you to miss that. And definitely take the opportunity to comment or ask questions. I'm Sheila English, your host, and until next time, may God rock your world with joy.
In Faith Network Radio, blessings through entertainment, www.infaithnetwork.com. Come join our ever-growing Christian community.